Support for KNKX's studio sessions comes from the University of Puget Sound, an independent liberal arts university. Through scholarly engagement and collaborative education, Puget Sound prepares students for careers in the arts, sciences, research, and entrepreneurship. More at pugetsound.edu.
Hello, I'm Abe Beeson. Welcome once again to the KNKX studios in Seattle. What a great day and a long time coming. We have Kate Olson here with her quartet. I have been a KO fan for years, but though she's played with other groups and is a mentor for the School of Jazz Band in our studios, this is Olson's first KNKX session as a leader. She's been a key member of the Seattle scene for about 15 years, jazz and far beyond. Olson's worked with all the cool cats in town, and her own groups range from solo sax with electronics to acoustic and electric ensembles. This new band will be featured on Olson's upcoming album, her debut as a leader, due from Origin Records in the new year. So It Goes is the title of the album. We have Connor Eisenmenger on trombone, Tim Carey bass, Evan Woodle at the drums. Let's get a sample of this terrific collection of tunes. Help me welcome the Kate Olson Quartet.
Thank you. Thank you.
Kate Olson and her quartet with Heiner Eisenmenger on the trombone, Tim Carey bass, Evan Woodall behind the drum kit. The new album is coming out early in the new year, So It Goes. Thank you so much for being here. I'm really excited about the new record, So It Goes, all original compositions. Kate Olson, I'd like to talk to you about composing.
Let's do it.
Tell me about your early attempts at composing and establishing your style of not only the process, but your style of music.
Yeah, I like to say that I am not a naturally gifted musician. I had to learn everything by trial and error. And so I'm not sure I really knew how melody worked at first. But I was lucky to study with the great Jerry Allen when I was in grad school. And she gave us a number of assignments, one that really stuck with me, which was take a jazz tune that you love and write something that sounds like that. You know, just imitate until you can do it by yourself. And so I love Thelonious Monk, and I love Wayne Shorter. Mm-hmm. And more recently, I love Wayne Horvitz. So I take a lot of inspiration from those musicians, and that's where hopefully listeners can hear a little bit of a connection there to the history of jazz.
Yeah, I think the band and I spoke while you were out of the room, Kate, and we were talking about your music, and they said that there's a real your music really catches the ear of an audience, maybe people who aren't accustomed to free improvisation, things like that. But it's also challenging enough to keep the other musicians and yourself interested. So I wonder if that sounds like your music.
I mean, I sure hope that sounds like my music. That sounds like a really nice thing to say. I have other friends that I play with a lot in the music scene here that say that they appreciate that I have a bit of a pop sensibility, which means I'm interested in beautiful melodies. And this is something actually that Wayne Horvitz said to me at one point. I was like, what do you prioritize to really reach your listeners? And he's like, well, beauty doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
You know, so you write a beautiful melody, and then you write something that's fun to play over, fun to blow over, and so that's kind of my motivation for that.
You've had a couple opportunities to do writing retreats to the San Juan Islands. I think Orcas and Whidbey both. What program is that, and what is that like? Do you go and sit in a cabin by yourself and with a pencil and paper?
Yeah, essentially. So on Whidbey Island, that one is totally self-directed. There is a beautiful house out there called the Elf House that is operated by Jessica Lurie and Heather Bentley. Mm. And they run it as an Airbnb, and so I would just book some time out there, and there's a big grand piano in there, and just sit and compose. A lot of the songs on the upcoming record were composed there. At Doe Bay, Orcas Island, they have what they call the AIR program, the Artist in Residence program. And so during the summertime, they invite a bunch of artists up there to spend a week. You can write, you can hang out, you can do yoga, you can go for long walks on the beach. But there's also a performance aspect of it. And so I played at their open mic, and I did an entire set kind of impromptu with Seattle band The Black Tones.
Oh, cool.
And so there's a lot of cross-pollination there. And some of those new tunes, so Subtleties and Car Trouble, which we played today, the first two songs that we played, were written at that retreat. And they were written in the yoga studio at the Doe Bay Resort.
It sounds like those are places that are packed with inspiration, not only nature, but the chance to collaborate with other artists or just be by yourself and reflect. So where does your inspiration come from?
Yeah, a lot of the songs that I write are about the natural world. So I have a tune called Honk the Goose, which was written on Whidbey Island, inspired by the sort of poor behavior of geese on the coast there. I also write, I like to name my songs with kind of like double entendres sometimes. So a number of my songs, it's like I have a word or a phrase in my head that probably is inspired by the natural world or by something that someone said to me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Car Trouble, for example, is legitimately about car trouble. I was about to drive up to catch the ferry to Orcas Island, and my check engine light and my oil temp light came on.
Oh.
And without an appointment, I went and I took my Subaru in to the Subaru dealer and said, can you give me a different car so I don't miss this week on Orcas Island? And they said, yeah, sure, let's do it. And so they gave me a loaner for the entire week. And then that was the inspiration for that song that I played on alto flute, which is a much more placid sounding song than how I was feeling at the time.
So flute, saxophones, I wonder, does composing involve playing those instruments, or you sit down at a piano? What is your preferred way, pattern, system?
I like to write with the saxophone in my hands. Mm. And when I was writing for alto flute, I was playing alto flute. That instrument is relatively new to me. I've been playing flute, or sort of been playing at flute for probably 20 years, but I have only had an alto flute for maybe 3 or 4 months, and so I just got really excited about the sound of that instrument, and so that timbre is definitely the thing that inspires me and what fits under my fingers. And because I've played saxophone longer than I've played anything else, it's easier to write melodies when I have that instrument. I can do what I'm hearing in my head much faster. Mm-hmm.
How do you know when you've got something when you're writing? Where it's like, oh, here's a phrase that I can compose around.
When it gets stuck in my head and I find myself whistling it later, like at dinner, I'll be like whistling something or humming something. I'll be like, oh, that's what I was writing. That's what I was working on earlier. Yeah. That's the test, I think, if the melody works, if it gets stuck in your head.
Right. Now, one of the things about this new album, the songs on this album, is, of course, the band that you're playing the songs with. Soprano with trombone is one of the horn combinations. Tenor sax with trumpet. Connor plays another instrument. There's a couple of songs with piano. And I wonder if, while you're composing, you're thinking about the instrumentation.
I did start writing specifically for this quartet. I love these musicians. They have been playing with me pretty consistently for a few years, some of them for much longer than that. Tim and I have been playing in duo settings for probably over 10 years. Connor is relatively new in town. I think he moved here during the pandemic, but has definitely made a big splash, and I feel really lucky to have him in my ensemble. So I'm writing for these musicians. I'm not... Yeah, there are definitely, like, Tim plays in a way that not a lot of other bass players in town play. And so I write songs knowing that he can make them sound good. I write, you know, songs, and then I tell Evan random stuff about what groove I want, and Evan makes it happen. And I don't know how to talk about drums, but we have been playing together now for long enough that there's a good understanding of kind of the style that I'm going for. And each of them has started to feel comfortable contributing their own ideas and their own arrangement ideas. And that, for me, is just invaluable. It's such a huge part of the process for me now.
Yeah, you really take advantage of all the skills of these musicians in your band with Tim's six-string bass, able to do almost like a Charlie Hunter thing. And Evan is just so versatile behind the drums, able to pop or just glide underneath what you're doing. And, of course, Connor's just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful tone. How do you make room for those musicians to improvise around your song? How do you think about that?
Well, Connor really deserves... co-writing credit on a lot of these songs, because I give him a lead sheet and then he makes, I'm like, can you play a harmony here? And I don't tell him what harmony to play. I'm just like, can you just do something here? And he does it. And I'm like, great, that's perfect. And I think that's pretty much how it's gone every time. Today we are talking about keeping everything fairly short, because the internet likes short things. We're trying to be cognizant of that. But sort of my favorite gigs that we do are ones where we can really stretch out, and I can, each solo section can sort of have a life of its own and maybe end up in a completely different place than where it starts. And I trust all of these musicians to, you know, kind of catch each other and catch me and take us back to where we need to be to end the song effectively as well, which is really lovely.
Yeah. Now, you played with these musicians, with this band, for a long time before actually going into the studio to record. Did that make the recording process easy?
What do you guys think? I think it made it incredibly easy. We had been working with this material for about a year and performing it publicly for about a year. And so some of the songs are much older than that. Some of the songs were written a long, long time ago. But so to have that... familiarity with it. It's like basically all I had to do was like get my metronome out and set particular tempos that I wanted. And when we were in the studio, we had isolation on everything, but there weren't a lot of overdubs and there weren't a lot of mashing together of takes. Almost everything was recorded start to finish, which we wouldn't have been able to do had we not had that familiarity with the material.
Now, I got lucky. I got an early copy of the record, but I know a lot of your other fans are dying to get a hold of this. And the album will come out from Origin Records in early 2026, I think in January. Do you have plans for a release show, a party to throw?
I'm going to throw many parties, I think. So we recorded last January, and the record will be out officially on January 16th. I haven't booked a specific release show, but my plan around Seattle is to kind of do one in as many different neighborhoods as I can get to. So I thought the record would come out a little earlier, so there have been a number of preview shows that have already happened at spaces like the Chapel. And we opened the Earshot Jazz Festival this year at the KEXP gathering space, which was just a really delightful gig. So there was beautiful audio and video recorded there. So that will be sneaking its way out at some point. And I mean, there are so many venues in Seattle that have felt like a living room space to me that I feel so welcome there. So hopefully we'll see you at least one or two of those.
I believe I can arrange to make that happen. Let's hear it once again for Kate Olson.
Thank you.
Kate Olson and her quartet with Connor Eisenmenger on the trombone, Tim Carey bass, Evan Woodall behind the drum kit. The new album is coming out early in the new year, so it goes. Thank you so much to the band. Thanks so much to our KNKX Studio Sessions team, audio engineer Brian Moynihan, video producer Jordan Tan, Studio Sessions producer Brenda Goldstein-Young. Thanks to our sponsor, the University of Puget Sound. My name's Abe Beeson. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for supporting KNKX.